Blog Talk Radio. I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and I am thrilled to spend the next 30 minutes with you as your host. And we are going to say goodbye to 2012 and hello to the new year, new you. And if you are ready to live your dream in 2013, then you are in the right place. We have a magnificent show. We're going to be going over outstanding celebrity interviews that we've had here on the Living by Design show. Now, tonight's show is very empowering because I want to give you an opportunity to just have all of the greatest clips from the best interviews here in one place. So I have put together clips from celebrity interviews, interviews such as Sandra Yancey, who is the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, the largest networking organization for females in the nation. We'll also hear clips from Mr. Tavis Smiley. We'll also hear from Barbara Corcoran, who is one of the sharks in the Shark Tank. We'll also hear some information and interview clips from some of our listener appreciation shows, Mr. Howard Hewitt, Mr. Eric Braden. And we will also hear some clips from my previous co-host, who will be joining me in 2013, absolutely yes, Mr. Tony Lamont, will be returning to the Living by Design show, and we will be together collaborating and celebrating a new year and a new you. And together, we have such a magnificent lineup for you, and I'm so excited to be able to share some of the things that we have planned for you. So we're going to just jump right in. And we're going to get started. And I would like to first start out with the individual who is making a significant difference in the world on Shark Tank because she is helping to make dreams come true. So I just want to first start out by sharing a clip from an interview that I conducted with Ms. Barbara Corcoran, who is a significant powerhouse in the success world, in the real estate world, and in the world of making dreams come true. Here's a clip from Ms. Barbara Corcoran.
Now, Barbara, I'm going to ask you, for those people that maybe have been, you know, living in a cave for the past several years, could you just give them a little bit about your background and, you know, how you came through, the metamorphosis you came through, and the successful, financially successful woman that you are today?
Well, financially successful, no doubt. I'm definitely rich and don't have a money worry in the world. To feel successful inside and feel like you've accomplished what you want is a whole different thing. You have to, that's about security and not needing to prove. And I'm afraid as much as I've proved and proved and proved, I still have that urge to prove again. So I can't say I feel totally successful, but my bankers say I'm really successful. So there's one thing on the board, you know? But I had really the luckiest break, which was I was born to two parents who were very loving. And over the years, I've met so many people who have had tremendous personal success who didn't have a single parent to love them. So I just feel like I got a double whammy there. I got a great mom with huge energy and great organizational and inspirational skills. And I had a dad who was so hardworking and really our best playmate growing up. So when you wind up under the wing of parents like that, you have such a head start in life. I almost feel like I cheated my way to success because of the great start I had in childhood. And I also had the added bonus of childhood of being in a lower middle class family with nothing to prove and nowhere to go but up, which meant I had no pressure on my back. You know, my parents, their whole goal for all 10 of their children was to just have us grow up and be nice human beings. That's all they wanted us to do. And so we all grew up, we've all had our personal and financial success, and I think it had, I know it had everything to do with the pace my mother set by the life she led, raising 10 kids and being so organized and inspiring us and believing in us. And so we just kind of followed suit. We kind of drank her in, so to speak, and we had no choice but to be grown up and kind of be a lot like her, I think. And so the truth of the matter is, I really do often think, my gosh, how did I just get that lucky break and wind up in my particular family versus some other family with maybe only a fraction of those advantages? I mean, she was really like a Mother Teresa, but in her way of only allowing goodness around her. But she was powerfully obstinate in demanding that each of the children had the right to be there, had the right to have success, had the right to speak up, had the right. She just thought that her children came with a guarantee that they were allowed to be whoever they wanted to be in life, and there were no locked doors and no excuses as to why you couldn't walk through any door and get out of that door exactly what you wanted. So it wasn't even a point of discussion. She was just so black and white by example that you didn't think there was any other option.
Now, we have conducted a lot of celebrity interviews on the Living by Design show, and there is one common denominator that we always hear from our celebrities, and that's how much a significant impact individuals have had on their lives early on in their career. And this is extremely important, because if you don't have the support and the encouragement and validation from your parents, then I encourage you to find a mentor. Or if you are an adult, be a mentor to someone who is trying to come along the path and the journey that you've already traveled. So I'm so glad that she shared that. And we're also going to hear similar information in how Mr. Tavis Smiley got to where he is today and the individuals who had a significant impact on his life. So let's hear a clip from Mr. Tavis Smiley.
Who or what has been the greatest influences in your life?
Well, that's easy. It's a great question. But I think about these persons all the time, and so it's easy to offer some quick reflections on them. First and foremost, my parents. I'm one of 10 kids, my mother, my father, and my maternal grandmother, who we called Big Mama, who lived with us. There were 13 of us in a three-bedroom trailer. So I grew up in a trailer park, a small trailer, in north central Indiana, and the first and most important influences on my life are my parents. Taught me the discipline of hard work, the value of hard work, and the dignity in hard work. And I should mention that my mother and father only have 6 kids. We adopted 4 kids, my cousins. Beyond my family, the greatest influence on my life of a person who is dead would be Dr. King. I regard Martin Luther King Jr.
Absolutely.
As the greatest American this country has ever produced. And so Dr. King is my hero in death, and my hero in life is my dear friend, Dr. Cornel West. I've said many times, speaking of Dr. West, it's hard to explain what happens when your hero becomes your friend. But I grew up as a student at Indiana University down in Bloomington, studying and reading Dr. Cornel West. I never had any idea that one day he'd end up being my dearest and most abiding friend in the world. And so to now host a radio show with him, and to write books with him, and to lecture with him, and to travel the world with him as part of our work on poverty and other issues has been one of the great joys of my life. So my parents, Dr. King and Cornel West, I've had many, many influences, but those are the great ones.
And I think this is really significant to have an opportunity to hear these audio clips from these individuals. And I had a listener appreciation show with Mr. Eric Braden, who is the infamous Mr. Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless, the daytime powerhouse drama. So I would like to play a clip from Mr. Eric Braden so that you can just have an opportunity to go inside his personal life to hear how his upbringing had a significant impact on his life as well. So let's now hear from Mr. Eric Braden.
Tonight, I wanted you to share with your fans a little bit of your background as far as your upbringing and your childhood and you know, how that was, because I know you spent the first few years of your life in Germany.
Yeah.
So,
well, it was, as I said, first 4 years under bombs, every day and every night, and cities burning and animals burning and people dying and burning, and after the war, German soldiers coming back from the Russian front or not coming back, and with one leg and no legs, and one eye or blind or whatever, and some of them were our teachers afterwards, and you know, it was a rough world, and I grew up in the country, so I worked on farms and during vacation to earn a living. And then my father, who I was very close to, passed away. We were four boys at home. We fought all the time, and if we didn't fight ourselves, we fought others. And beyond that, you went to school, and you worked. And then I got involved because I had four brain concussions from ice hockey and soccer and various other things. I started doing track and field, and my disciplines were discus and javelin and shot put. And we won the German team youth championship when I was 17. At 18, I wanted to get the hell out of there, and I had a cousin who lived in Texas, in Galveston, Texas. And she was a doctor, was a brilliant woman. She came from Hamburg. She had emigrated to America in the early 50s, and she sponsored my trip to America.
And I hope you're enjoying the show thus far. So let's just take a quick little turn in a different direction and give you an opportunity to hear one of our listener appreciation shows or an audio clip from Mr. Howard Hewitt, who is the R&B sensation. He made a splash when he came on the scene singing with Shalamar back in the early 80s. So I want to play just a brief clip how Mr. Howard Hewitt truly made this young lady's day. She called in to talk to one of her favorite R&B singers of all times, and he had a very special gift for her, and now I'm going to share that with you. Let's hear from Mr. Howard Hewitt.
209, can you hear us? Area code 209?
Yes, I can. This is Linda calling from California. How are you?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing great. Howard, just love your music. I was sitting here listening to the show, and I said I wasn't going to call in, and then I heard Wendy, and I was like, wait a minute, he got to know there was somebody in California growing up listening to him. I was like, that was my man, so I just have to call in. No, you can't claim my man, not on the Internet. No. But I just wanted to call in just real quick to say I appreciate your music. I appreciate everything that you've done, especially your Journey project. That was wonderful. And just want you to know I still love you. And if you get divorced, you can look me up.
Thank you very much.
Amen. And I do have one question, if you can. Can you just sing something for us a little bit? I just want to hear your voice over the line, live and in person.
What do you want to hear?
I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think what would I want to hear. I mean, you can just sing happy birthday. My birthday about to come up, so you can just say happy birthday to me,
your birthday,
and I'll be happy birthday.
Okay, your name again is what? Your name again?
Linda.
Linda, okay.
Yes.
All right, so your birthday's coming. So we say, happy birthday to you, baby. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Linda. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Linda, are you okay?
I'm wonderful. Anyway, I'm ready. I can go on with life now. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Linda.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed that because it absolutely made that young lady's day, and I hope it's making your day too, and I hope you're enjoying the very best comments and very best audio clips from some of our greatest celebrities that we've interviewed here. So let's keep it moving. And I want to share a clip with you from Miss Sandra Yancey, who is the founder and CEO of the nation's largest female networking organization, and it's called eWomen Network, and I'm sure you've heard of it. And if you haven't, you may want to Google it and look it up, because being in the world of networking is significant and it's very important so that you can surround yourself with like-minded individuals who have goals similar to yours. And Miss Sandra Yancey is doing just that. She's making such a difference in the world. So let's just play a clip from Miss Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Let's hear from Sandra.
And you know, Sandra, for anyone that may not be familiar with eWomen Network, I mean, I know it's a really very high-profile, well-known organization, but can you just give our listeners a little bit of background about how you started and what eWomen Network represents?
Well, I started it perhaps a lot like many of your listeners. Was a woman with a dream one day and took a spare bedroom and converted it into an office almost 9 years ago. And opened myself up for business, and struggled with it like many of us do in those early years. In fact, in about 3 years into the business, I was on the brink of bankruptcy. Just really could not figure it out. I had written a fabulous business plan, had a great marketing plan, thought I had a revolutionary business model, and had even conducted focus groups, had hired a firm to validate my proof of concept, and it didn't matter is what the bottom line is. The behavior of the customers was inconsistent with how they answered questions. And I was so stuck on what the plan said and what the data said that I didn't get above the fog and just start to observe, you know, my customers and how they were buying. And the minute I started shifting from being just an online community, you know, see, the vision was for me, it was almost like the first Facebook or MySpace. And the message in that, the lesson in that really is, you know, Kathy, timing is everything. And in 1999, it wasn't a good time to be thinking about creating just an online community. You know, back in those days, most people were still on dial-up, and graphics wasn't really in the picture, no pun intended. You know, most people were even on plain text. We didn't even have a lot of folks on rich text yet. And so it was just an idea before the time was really ready, was really available. And I kept thinking I could, you know, be on the cutting edge of converting it, but just wasn't meant to be. So today we still have the largest picture profile database of women entrepreneurs on the World Wide Web, but more importantly, we expanded our model to the whole kind of chapter concept. We do over 2,000 events a year, have 118 chapters across the United States and Canada, and 140 people on the payroll. And so I went from the brink of bankruptcy to the joy of success, and the biggest lesson in that was that I needed to get out of my own way and recognize that I was my biggest obstacle, and observe my customers, and share my concerns and issues, and ask for help. And once I did that, everything started to turn around.
Now, for those of you who are not very familiar with eWomen Network, I encourage you to do some research or Google them to get more information about that. I actually started with that organization when I first stepped out of corporate America to start my business, and I was a nationwide premier coach, life coach for that organization. So they had a significant impact on my life and my career, and I really, truly appreciate everything they had done for me. So what I'd like to do now is just switch gears a little bit and share some audio interview clips from Mr. Tony Lamont, who is an absolute mega powerhouse in media and broadcasting. He's an icon, and he has conducted tons of celebrity interviews. So I want to share some of that with you. And for you Eric Benet fans out there, I am going to play an audio clip where Tony Lamont interviewed Mr. Eric Benet, and he's going to give you some information about himself. So let's hear from Eric Benet. Ladies, this one is for you.
What's up? What's happening? This is Tony Lamont with the one and only Eric Benet. Welcome, my brother.
What's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
I'm good.
What's up? Man, it's such a blessing, man. You know, I've been in the game for a minute, and to know that I can come someplace like your wonderful city and you know, put a single out, and after so long in the business, you know, still have top top 10 singles and still be relevant, man, I'm just grateful, man. So it's a blessing.
Now tell me about this album coming out in April. I mean, I know you have a love affair with every project that you do because you write it, produce it. I know you have your co-writer and your co-producer. But this one, what makes this so different for you?
Man, I'm going to love this one even more because unlike all the other records, I own this one. I just started my own record label. It's called Jordan House Records, and so this will be my first release. Real Love was the first release off Jordan House, and we just broke the top 10. That's because of y'all. It's because of you. So, you know, for all of those reasons, the freedom, the autonomy, the control, the ownership, you know, this is going to be a very special project.
And, you know, owning your own stuff, I know that makes you feel so good after so long. And this time, folks are going to get the true you because
absolutely. You
absolutely have all the freedom you need, right?
All of it, man. You know, anytime you're an artist on a label, I mean, you know, there's always some kind of, you know, have to get their approval on some things before you can release it. And then after it's released, like I said before, all that music you created, they own it. So, I mean, it just feels wonderful, man. And, you know, to have people receive Real Love, the first single, the way they have, it just feels so much better than before.
So what's the name of the album and the release date? I know it's coming out in April.
Yes, sir. The name of the album is The One. The name of the album is The One because I've prayed my whole career to be able to have my own record label and then to be able to release my own stuff on that record label. And guess what? This is The One. So you need to have that one.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep going. I had an opportunity to be featured in Ebony Magazine. This was a significant opportunity and such a blessing in my life. And I would like to share a clip from the Ebony Magazine senior editor who came to the show to talk about the article that we featured in Ebony Magazine of my departure from corporate America. Because I want to play this clip because I want to give everyone hope, and I want you to know that regardless of whether you get laid off or whether you just voluntarily walk away from a job that is not meant for you, you can be successful and you can make it. So I'm going to play this audio clip from Miss Margina Christian, who is the senior editor for Ebony Magazine. So let's hear from Margina.
But you know, your story is so amazing, and I can remember it just seems like yesterday when I received the letter and I looked at it, and I just thought to myself, wow, this is a time when people are losing jobs and trying to hold on to what they still have, and you were just a powerful person who showed that, you know, I'm going to step out on faith. You know, I have a job, it's very secure, but I have to do what's in my heart. And that spoke volumes because it just showed that when you do what you really have a calling for, everything is going to work out in divine order. And your story is just a powerful testament to this. Fear, like you said, will hold you back. And I've learned that it's an acronym for false evidence appearing real. And you'll see that a lot of times it really is as simple as what you fear is fear itself. And it's like once you overcome it, it's like, okay, I held myself back for so long. But when you just step out and just go for it, then everything works out, especially if you get that little feeling. And that's what, from reading and your article and looking at it, that's exactly what I got from you, because you stepped out during a time when most people wouldn't have dared dream of doing something like this. Right. And you said key words is what defines you?
Right.
Because a lot of times titles and positions
and money
defines so many people. And we see with the economy and things being the way they are, you can't have anything outside of yourself define you, because true power comes from within.
That's right.
It comes from knowing who you really are. Like you said, it really is as simple as who owns your identity.
Because those
things can be taken at any time. But the fact that you were able to see that my life, something bigger is calling me. I'm being called to do something greater, and I'm going to step out and do it. And that's exactly what you did.
Okay. Now, for you entertainment lovers, I want to share a clip that Mr. Tony Lamont conducted with the beautiful, talented Sanaa Lathan. So I am going to just play a brief clip that Sanaa Lathan was talking about some of the things that is very near and dear to her heart, and I think you will really connect with her because she is just a beautiful person inside and out. So let's hear now from Tony Lamont with his interview with Miss Sanaa Lathan.
Special guest in the studio with me right now. It is a pleasure to have in the studio Sanaa Lathan. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you? I'm happy to be here.
You're here because you're here to support Barack. Tell us about that.
I'm here to support Barack because I basically, Alfre Woodard is obviously a very good friend of mine. We've worked together several times, and she's been campaigning for Barack, and she basically called me not too long ago and said, you know, the campaign is in dire need of getting people registered. Basically, there are 8 million Black people around the country that are not registered. You know, this is going to change our future, you know, and it's so important to get people to register. So I'm just here to get the word out. Call your friends. If you're not registered, register yourself.
Now, and I have to ask you this because what has this experience been for you?
For me, it's interesting because I think a lot of people are apathetic. I think a lot of people feel like the government, they don't have any real connection to the government. And I think that is obviously reflected in the fact that there's all these people that are not registered. And for all my adult life, I didn't feel any connection. And it wasn't until this election when I started to listen to Barack and listen to his message. And, you know, he reminded me of the fact that, you know, government in a democracy is supposed to be for the people, by the people.
Right.
This is our country. It kind of has been taken away from us in the last 8 years.
All right. We are winding down to our last few minutes of the show, the first kickoff show of the new year, and I have saved the best for last. I am going to play a clip where Mr. Tony Lamont had an opportunity to sit down with our nation's president to have a conversation. So I am going to share these very special comments that Tony Lamont had with Mr. Barack Obama.
Mel Barack, I know the women in your life, your story has been a poignant story about being, you know, coming from a single parent household, your mother and your grandmother raising you. How important has the women in your life, as your wife and your daughters, how important have they been to this process?
Well, you know, they're obviously, my wife and daughters are everything to me. When they travel with me, it is a great thing. It keeps me happy and energized, and every time I see those little girls, I'm reminded of why I'm doing this. You know, I want to make sure that they're living in a country that is fair and is just, where every child has a chance to prosper and you know, achieve their dreams. And right now, too many kids don't see bright possibilities ahead. They're in difficult circumstances. Their parents are in difficult circumstances, and you know, a lot of those folks are working hard, but they're just not given a chance. And I want to make sure that we have a country where, you know, if you want to go to college, we're giving you a $4,000 tuition credit, every student every year, so that you can afford it in exchange for some community service. If you are working hard, then you should be able to get paid a living wage, and I want to give you a tax break so that you can afford rising gas prices or rising food prices. If you don't have health care, we're a wealthy enough nation that everybody should have health care. That's the kind of America I believe in and that we've got to fight for.
Now, we can't hear from the president without hearing from the first lady. So I'm going to close out the show tonight with an extremely critical, very life-changing, life-transforming comment made from our first lady, Miss Michelle Obama. It has been my pleasure to bring to you these amazing clips, and stay tuned for 2013 because it's only going to get better. So let's hear now from our First Lady.
And I'd like to know, Michelle, from your perspective as the wife of a presidential candidate, what do you see as your biggest challenge and obstacle to overcome and or deal with?
You know, I think that fear and the fear of change is sort of the big thing that keeps us from moving forward as a nation. I think that part of what we have to realize in this country is that there is more that unites us. I mean, we've had the opportunity to travel all around this country, to go into communities of all races, of all ethnicities, and people are open. and they're kind, and we share the same values in this country, and folks are all striving for the same thing. It's just that our politics doesn't reflect the reality that we're closer to one another than not, because some people can politically profit off of the division. But I think that the challenge for us as a nation is that we have to put aside those old wounds, we have to set aside those old assumptions, and know that in our hearts that that this country can change. But we have to do it step by step, and we have to be ready to change as individuals first. But I see that happening over the course of this year, and it does give me hope.